All right, good morning. Like Tommy said, it is a little strange to be preaching to an empty building. It's always nice to be here and to see people and to have interaction with people as you're up here talking, and you don't have that this morning, but I'm grateful for the technology we have that we can still do this, still worship together, even though we're not together in person. So I would notice, I don't know how many of you saw on Facebook, Elvin and Ruth had their first in-person service in about 11 months. So that was good for them. I'm happy for them, and it was good to see. It's kind of ironic, I guess, that they have their first live in-person service on the Sunday that we are not meeting in person. But such is life in these days. All right, message this morning is entitled, Are You Clean? All right, I got to turn this on. Gospel of Matthew, once again, Matthew chapter 8. And kind of entering the next stage or next part of Jesus' ministry. The last three chapters were the Sermon on the Mount and Jesus' teaching on kingdom living, telling the people, he was telling people the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And the Sermon on the Mount is a lot of kingdom living, kingdom attitudes, fulfilling the law. And so chapter 8 then goes straight into like an action portion of Jesus' life. Chapter 8 is a very active chapter. There's four healings. There's the calming of a storm. There's casting out of demons. There's a herd of pigs, all in chapter 8. So where do you start? How much do you cover? And I always thought once I get out of the Sermon on the Mount into this portion that I would be able to move through it quicker. But I'm actually only covering the first four verses of Matthew chapter 8 this morning. And the reason is there's a question that came to me. So you have the Sermon on the Mount, and the first story is this leper that comes to Jesus to be healed. And we know the story. It's recorded in Matthew, it's recorded in Mark, and it's recorded in Luke. But if you read through those different Gospels and read the story, the timeline is different every time. In Matthew, it happens immediately after the Sermon on the Mount. In Luke, I think it happens before the Sermon on the Mount. In Mark, it's in the first chapter of Mark. I don't think it was the first miracle Jesus did. But some people have a problem with reading through the Gospels and seeing these stories in different order, but I don't have a problem with it. I think the point of the Gospels was to let people know who Jesus was, who Jesus is. And if you look at every author and why they wrote their Gospels, they wrote them for different reasons. So Matthew was writing to the Jews. And his point was to make sure that the readers know who Jesus is, that he is the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies. And so he has his timeline different than maybe some of the others, because he wants to make sure that his readers know who Jesus is, that he is not contradicting the Old Testament, that he's fulfilling the Old Testament, which is why he started his book with the genealogy, went through the genealogy to make sure his readers know that he is descendant of Abraham, he's a descendant of David, that he's fulfilling all these Old Testament prophecies. He went through his birth, his timeline, how he went to Egypt and into the wilderness and basically retraced the steps of the nation of Israel. So it's not that all their stories needed to be in chronological order. They put these stories in to make sure their readers get the message. So why is this story the first miracle that Matthew records? Now, if you go back to Matthew chapter 5 or 4, it says that Jesus went about healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. But, so we know Jesus had done miracles up to this point, but none of them were specific. So, why is this story first? Let's read the text, Matthew chapter 8, verses 1 through 4. And get into some Old Testament details and why I think this story is first. Matthew chapter 8, verses 1 through 4. When he had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. Immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said to him, See that you tell no one, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded as a testimony to them. So why is this story first? I think the secret is right there in verse 2. It says, A leper came to him, worshipped him, and saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. He didn't say, Lord, if you are willing, you can heal me. Lord, if you are willing, you can take away this disease. He asked to be made clean. Why? Why did he not ask for healing? Why did he ask to be cleansed, to be made clean? Why? Because he was an outcast. He was a leper, or leper and leprosy is a translation that many people choose. I think if you read NIV, it's often uses the word skin disease. There's a lot of debate on what their disease actually was, but you had any kind of skin disease, you were cast out. Sometimes your skin disease scabbed over and you were healed and the priest could look at you and you could come back in the camp. But he was an outcast. Why was he an outcast? The Old Testament law required this. Let's go back to the Old Testament and look at why this leper asked to be clean. It says Leviticus 13, 45 and 46, says, Now the leper on whom the sore is, his clothes shall be torn, and his head bare, and he shall cover his mustache and cry, Unclean! Unclean! He shall be unclean. All the days he has the sore, he shall be unclean. He is unclean, and he shall dwell alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp. Numbers 5, 1 through 4, And the Lord spake to Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they put out of the camp every leper, everyone who has a discharge, and whoever becomes defiled by a corpse. You shall put out both male and female. You shall put them outside the camp, that they may not defile their camps in the midst of which I dwell. And the children of Israel did so, and put them outside the camp, as the Lord spoke to Moses. So the children of Israel did. So, we see here, the Old Testament law required them, with a skin disease, and a leper would have a skin disease, that they were supposed to be sent out of the camp. They were cast out, and they could not come back in until they were clean, or declared clean. And for some people, especially if they really were a leper, that may have been never. Never come back into the camp. They were isolated. They were cut off. And if you go into the book of Leviticus, chapters 10 through about 15 talk about all the different things that were clean or unclean. Some animals were clean, some were unclean. Different things that you did would cause you to be unclean and you would have to be sent out of the camp. But it's not that being unclean was a sin. It was something that happened. If you had to bury an animal or bury a relative, you were unclean. And you had to remain outside of the camp for X amount of days and then come back in and do the right sacrifices and washings and all that, and you would be clean. You could come back in. It was just something that happened. It's something that needed to be taken care of. Depending on what your disease was and your reason for being unclean, you wouldn't ever make it back into camp. So being declared unclean was a lonely life. Why did God do this? Well, let's look Leviticus again. I'm going to do a lot of verses here in Leviticus pretty quickly. Leviticus 11, 44 and 45. For I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore consecrate yourselves or set apart yourselves, and you shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall you defile yourselves with any creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. For I am the Lord who brings you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. You shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. So God is telling his people here in Leviticus as he goes through this clean and unclean that I am your God. I am holy. To be holy is to be unique, to be set apart, to be separate. And you are my people. You are supposed to be holy, set apart, unique, like I am. And these are the laws that God put in place. We don't necessarily understand them. We may read Leviticus and say, well, that's really strange or really weird. But that was their life. Those were their laws. And if you get to Matthew, it was still the same way. And the Jews knew these laws and they were used to them. This wasn't strange to them. It was just how they lived. But the point of all of this in Leviticus, and we see it over and over, is that God is holy. He is God, and he required his people to follow these laws. It was that simple. I'm going to read a couple of verses. You see them over and over in Leviticus. Therefore, you shall keep my ordinance so that you do not commit any of these abominable customs which were committed before you, and that you do not defile yourselves by them. I am the Lord your God. Leviticus 19:2. Speak to all the congregation of the children of Israel and say to them, you shall be holy or set apart or consecrated, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. Therefore you shall observe all my statutes and all my judgments and perform them. I am the Lord. Consecrate yourselves therefore and be holy, be set apart, for I am the Lord your God. Therefore you shall keep my commandments and perform them. I am the Lord. You shall not profane my holy name, but I will be hallowed among the children of Israel. I am the Lord who sanctifies you, who brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord. So that was what was going on in Leviticus. God, their God, the holy God, was setting these laws and requiring them to follow them, to be set apart, to be unique. These were commands of a holy God. So in the law of Moses, to be unclean meant to be isolated, to be sent out of the camp. Unclean meant one could not approach the tabernacle. It meant one could not worship. Where was God in the Old Testament? He was in the Ark of the Covenant. Where was the Ark of the Covenant? In the Holy of Holies, in the tabernacle, in a courtyard. To be sent out of the camp, to be unclean, cut you off from all of that. One could not enter the presence of God or worship with his fellow people if one was unclean. So remember that. This leper in Matthew was unclean. He was cast out. He was isolated. Now the prophets point to a change coming. And this is very important in understanding why I think Matthew put this story first. The prophets point to a change coming in these Old Testament laws. If you look at Ezekiel 36, 25 through 27, then I will sprinkle clean water on you. This is God speaking. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. So God is telling his people here, I will clean you. I will cleanse you. It won't be this law where you have to go out of the camp for so many days anymore and then the priest has to declare you clean. I will cleanse you. And I will put my spirit within you. Remember Old Testament, Leviticus, God was in the Ark of the Covenant, not in the hearts of the people. And Ezekiel points to a change coming. Isaiah does the same. Isaiah chapter 6, 1 through 7. I know I've mentioned this a number of times, but I want to read this vision Isaiah has. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim, each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. Now put yourself in Isaiah's shoes before we go to the next part of the vision. Isaiah was not a priest. He was not allowed to enter the Holy of Holies. He was not allowed to enter the presence of God. And yet here he is in his vision, in the throne room. He doesn't see the face of God. It says, well, maybe. He says he saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. So we know he at least saw the robe and the train of his robe, and he was in the presence of God. Terrifying. And you see these strange creatures crying out, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. And the door, the building was shaking and it was filled with smoke. And here was Isaiah, a prophet, but not a priest, certainly not a high priest, in the presence of God. And what did that do to Isaiah? He said, so I said, woe is me, for I am undone. Undone means he was terrified. Undone equals destroyed or cut off. Because he's like, I am unclean. I have not done the correct rituals to be here in the presence of God. I am not allowed to be here. It was terrifying. I am unclean. And I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. I think Isaiah thought he was done. He was in the presence of God. But what happens next? Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar, and he touched my mouth with it and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips, your iniquity is taken away, and your sin purged." Here in this vision, Isaiah is in the presence of God, and he is cleansed by fire from God. He is cleansed. His sin is taken away. That is pointing directly to what Jesus is going to do. And fast forward to Matthew chapter 3, John the Baptist, going around baptizing people, telling people that there is one coming that is holier than him. What did he say? "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." Holy Spirit, Ezekiel talks about that. He will fill his people with his Spirit. And Isaiah's vision, he is cleansed by fire. And John the Baptist is saying, Jesus is here. He will baptize you. He will cleanse you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Interesting. On a side note, if you go back to Isaiah's vision, it says, in the year that King Uzziah died. And I don't know what significance this has. I just know it's really interesting. King Uzziah died as a leper, isolated, cut off. He had entered the temple to try to do something that he was not authorized to do, and God struck him with leprosy, and he was sent out of the camp until he died. And that same year, Isaiah had this vision of being cleansed. Even though he was unclean, he was cleansed. So that brings us to Matthew chapter 8, and the story of this leper being cleansed. Why is this story first? This leper, I'm assuming he's a Jew, because he's considered unclean. He is cast out. But he wants to be restored. It seems like he doesn't care so much about his skin condition, although in order to be called clean, his skin condition will need to be cleared up. But he doesn't ask for healing. He has to be cleansed. He wants to be restored. He wants to worship. He wants to enter Jerusalem. He wants to go to the temple. He recognizes Jesus as Lord. I don't know if he was listening to the Sermon on the Mount. He would have had to listen from a distance because he was unclean. He was cut off. But he approaches Jesus in humility. He approaches Jesus as because he's poor in spirit. And he recognizes who Jesus is. It says he worships him, saying, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." It's almost as if he's been paying attention to all these prophets and realizes that through Jesus' teaching, because Jesus taught with authority, and Jesus said he is fulfilling the law, almost like this leper recognizes who Jesus was as the Son of God, and it's like, you know what? The prophets have been pointing to this time when I can be cleansed by God. And he has the boldness to approach Jesus and worship him and saying, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." And note what Jesus does. Jesus could have easily stood 10 feet away from him and said, "I'm willing, you're cleansed." But no. Jesus reaches out and touches the leper. He touches him. He touches this unclean man, this outcast, this man that was cast out from the people, could not worship, could not enter the presence of his family, could not enter the presence of God. He touched him, and he was made clean. In the Old Testament, if you were unclean, you could not enter the presence of God. But now Matthew is showing his Jewish readers that here is Jesus, the Son of God. He has proven that through his genealogy, through the story of his birth, and through the teachings in the Sermon on the Mount, that this is the Son of God. This is the Old Testament prophecies. This man, this Son of God, is willing to approach you in your uncleanness, in your filth, and touch you and make you clean. It was a complete change from Old Testament law. Old Testament, the unclean could not enter the presence of God, but now Jesus approached and touched the unclean man, restoring him. And Jesus said to him, "See that you tell no one, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded as a testimony to them." And there was a whole thing he had to do. Go to the priest. The priest saw his skin disease was gone, declared him clean. He was able to go back into the presence of his family. He was able to go back to the temple to worship. And that was a powerful, powerful story to the Jewish readers. Things have changed. It almost felt in the Old Testament that my filth, my uncleanness would contaminate the presence of God. But Matthew is telling his readers now, no, Jesus isn't scared of your sin. He's not scared of you being unclean. He's willing to approach you. He's willing to touch you. He's willing to change you. The message is the same for us today. Is your heart clean or unclean? It's about our heart condition now. Is your heart clean or unclean? Were you clean and have become unclean, and you need to be restored? The message is the same for us. Jesus is waiting. Jesus wants us to approach Him, to worship Him, and ask to be restored. He won't be contaminated by our sin. He will take it away. He will cleanse us. And through that cleansing, we will be able to be in His presence. So my question today is, are you clean? Have you been cleansed by Jesus? Because just as here in Matthew 8, as He was willing, He says, I am willing. He's willing today. Have you worshipped Jesus? Are you willing to approach Him in humility and worship Him and ask Him to clean you? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You again for this story, Lord. Your Word is so full of stories, of examples You have set for us. And we know that You are willing to cleanse each one of us. Lord, we know that each one of us needs to be cleansed. And we need to come to You and worship You and ask to be cleansed, Lord. We thank You for this gift of salvation that You have given us. Lord, we pray for each and every one that is watching this morning. Lord, just ask that You watch over them. Pray for health in each of the households, especially those that may have had some bad health in the last week. Lord, just ask that You would continue to heal those that are feeling sick. Lord, we just ask that this next week could return to relative normal and that we could continue to serve You through what we do here at the church, through our work here at the school, Lord. We just ask You to watch over us and protect us. We ask this all in Your name. Amen.